Welcome to Dear Instructional Designer, Episode 1. It's launch week on Dear Instructional Designer, the show about the instructional design journey. My name is Kristen Anthony, and I am incredibly excited that you're listening in for the very first episode. Oh my gosh, you guys, I started a podcast. So I wanted to spend a few minutes this first episode talking a little bit about what the show is about and what I hope that it brings. And I want to start off by saying this show is really about you. I floated the idea around to as many different people as I could on the interwebs, and I asked, what would an instructional design newbie podcast sound like? And that is what I hope to offer you. I've got topical episodes coming up. I've got interviews planned with a lot of instructional designers in a lot of different industries. And I want to get down to the nitty gritty of what instructional designers do, the challenges, how different people handle them, the triumphs, what the work is like. So I'm really, really looking forward to taking that journey with you. But for launch week, I thought I would release one episode every day for 5 days, and I wanted to spend this week talking about something near and dear to the heart of every instructional design newbie, myself included, and that is landing a job. Specifically, where building a portfolio plays into that. So I'm going to spend this week talking about my personal thoughts on the whys and hows of creating a really good instructional design portfolio. Today, the topic is why. Why is a portfolio important? And there are three main reasons that I want to cover: practice, focus, and showing versus telling. Practice is one of those things that you are going to hear me talk about again and again on this show. It's something that I am incredibly passionate about. And one of the reasons is because it's so essential to what we do. Like other designers, we are problem solvers. And the best way for us to get good at problem solving is to practice problem solving, right? I mean, it's one of the things that we often preach as instructional designers, is that you can't just throw people into a job and expect them to, you know, automatically be good just because maybe you gave them a training course, right? There's an element of practice that goes along with a lot of the skills and attitudes that we want to help people build. And that is no less true for us as professionals. The other reason is that, you know, when you look at the preponderance of job titles and job descriptions that are out there, a lot of what you're going to see as a newbie or as someone who hasn't even entered the field yet could be accurately described as instructional design and development. So instructional design and development. A lot of us are wearing multiple hats, right? We're not just consulting with subject matter experts and project managers and other people. That's an important thing and something that brings a lot of challenges and something that it would be great to practice. But we're also expected to design the graphics, design the audio, put it all together, publish it, maintain it. So we need to be practicing with the tools of our industry. We need to be practicing solving problems. We need to be practicing building things. And I know a lot of people are thinking, well, that's really hard. I don't have the tool. I don't have the time. I'd rather be doing other things outside of work. All of that is valid. And I don't want to belittle any of that. But I do think that it's important for us, again, as designers, not to eschew practicing. It's essential to us being good at our work. And I think, and I wrote a post on this fairly recently, is that the minimum practice for us could be thinking about something that we heard of, thinking about a job description that's out there on the internet, and sort of thinking, how would I solve this problem? And doing a rapid prototype on paper, just drawing it out. How would I solve this problem? What would this look like? Would I do a series of short videos? Would I do a series of short videos mixed in with some practice, mixed in with some mentoring? And just thinking about how would I solve this problem, and drawing that out and thinking about that. That's your minimum practice that you could be doing, and something that should be fairly easy for anybody to implement. I would really encourage you to do that. The second reason is focus, right? And one of the things that, again, is really important, I think, particularly to newbies, is thinking about what is the kind of work that I want to be doing out in the world. There are a lot of different industries that use instructional design. There's healthcare and pharmacy, there's software companies, there's human resources and compliance, government, there's K-12, there's higher education, banking, the hospitality industry, the automotive industry. So there are all of these things that you could be focusing on. And what I would encourage you to do is think about what is the type of work that I want to be doing in the world. And it could be industry-based. It could also be thinking about, do I want to be more on that ed tech tool side of things? Thinking about a good learning management system. Thinking about learning tools interoperability, or LTI. Thinking about the Experience API and how we can use that. So all of those things are things that you could be focusing on, and when you build your portfolio, you have the opportunity right there to say, this is the type of work that I want to be doing, and so this is what I want to present to the world, to future employers, and say, look, I'm really good at this. And it also, of course, helps you. If you don't know what exactly it is that you're interested in, your portfolio, at least to begin with, might have a whole different series of different kinds of things that you're experimenting with, and that's completely fine. That helps you find focus, and that's really, really useful. So really, again, this whole idea of having a portfolio, it's not all that optional, right? It's something that helps you a lot, and helps your employers. And the last thing is exactly that. That's showing versus telling. Again, this is something that we preach as instructional designers all of the time, but we need to be sure that we are practicing it. How powerful is it to go into an interview and be able to not just try and tell your employer about how you will make their lives easier, how you can help them solve problems, but to be able to show them, particularly if you can show them targeted things. You know, you go into an interview and you can say, here is some stuff I created, and I could create this type of thing for you. I can help you solve these problems. And here is some evidence that I can do that using the tools of the industry. And so that's just, it's incredibly important for you. It's incredibly important for employers. And I think that we need to start practicing what we preach by forcing ourselves to practice, to focus, and to have a portfolio that helps us to show versus tell. Now, here's what I would encourage you to do. So get out a sheet of paper. And here are some things, especially if you're a newbie, here are some things that can help you just get started with this whole portfolio thing. It can seem really overwhelming. But it's not, especially if you break it into small things. So here is your sort of first step on creating a portfolio. Narrow your industries. So list out the types of industries or the types of work that you would want to do and target with your portfolio. And then narrow it down to your one or two highest priorities. That's one thing that you can do. You know, there's this whole world of things that you could be creating. And so it's easy to get overwhelmed and say, oh, I want to create everything. So a good thing for you to do is to narrow it down to one or two things that you really want to work on, again, in the real world, and that you want to practice. The next thing is to try and find some pain points. Look up job description in your chosen industries. You know, use LinkedIn, use Indeed.com, use other job boards. Maybe pick the brains of some other instructional designers if you need to. And think about what is the pain that these people are trying to solve? What's the problem here? And how would I solve this problem? What pieces would I create to help appeal to this organization or to this problem and show that I can solve this type of problem? And again, there is value in using the tools of the industry, but there's also value if you can do nothing else. One thing that you can do is write about it or draw it out. Do a rapid, ugly prototype of how you would solve a problem. And again, the last thing here is to maybe list out some things that you want to practice. What skills would you like to increase? What skills match the types of jobs that you're looking for? So again, if you want to think about, hey, I like to create games, and I know that gamification and game-based learning is really important, then, you know, some of your portfolio pieces should be good games that you've created. If you want to maybe focus again on that ed tech side of things, you might want to do a little bit more technical project. You might want to spin up an instance of a learning management system like Moodle or Adapt and show that you can manage those things, show that you can deploy a project in those. Thank you so much for listening. Any feedback that you have on the show, if you loved it, if you hated it, if you have any dear instructional designer burning questions that you would like to hear addressed on the show, all of that would be greatly appreciated. You can reach me on Twitter at AnthKris, that's AnthKris. The website for the show is DearInstructionalDesigner.com. You can go there to sign up to be notified when a new episode is being released and to listen to past episodes, as well as get the show notes. And you can also reach me by email there at Kristen@DearInstructionalDesigner.com. And I really want to hear from you. And I will talk to you tomorrow, fellow ideers.